us now.
So, good afternoon, everybody. I am pleased to have the opportunity to see the faces and hear the voices of some of the people whose writings I know, but I never was lucky to see them. I also have to apologize. I was teaching today, so I didn't hear all the presentations, but the larger part I heard was very impressive, very interesting, and gave me a lot of food for thought. I originally prepared some remarks, actually in dialogue with the presentations, but as the time is running and we are all tired, and also many things were perhaps discussed when I was not online, I would make only one remark out of the several remarks I made. And then I want to thank all those who participated, etc. So listening to the description, to the mapping of the footprint of the systems of the ever-reaching United Front organization, etc., etc. There is one feature which is prominent and which is not thematized enough, I would say, and it is pretending. When I say pretending, I mean on the Chinese side, you have very clearly stated the ideas, the goals, the system which is believed to be the best system in the world, the scientific solution to the problems of mankind. But when you follow the communication of the representatives of this ideal system, who are bringing the enlightenment of better future together with China to the world, you suddenly realize that they pretend to be something else. They pretend to be, let's say, normal Western-style politicians or institutions as we know them from Europe. Martin touched upon it a little bit in his presentation when talking about the, let's say, adaptation to different condition in the translation. And they do it purposefully. This is very interesting. They are proud bearers of the communist flag, but they come to Europe and until recently, I think there is a slight change recently, but they pretend to be representing democratic institutions. The very idea of NGOs, which are basically not NGOs, but they, and everybody knows that they are not NGOs in the sense we know them as independent civil organizations, but they pretend to be this kind of organizations. And it came to my mind that actually we still have a power which we are not perhaps quite aware of, and this is the power of we are the givers of values of system. We are still the givers of values for the system which the Chinese political system, what the Leninist Party wants to overthrow. We still have much bigger power than we are aware of. And if you follow the history of China in the 20th century, of course it was the French Revolution and the freedoms of individuals that actually were a very important driving force, even in early communist movement, before the structures were built up and the power structures developed in the way that they developed. So I think one response to all these activities of the Chinese United Front and other institutions that want to somehow subvert and co-opt our system and change it in the interests and in the manner of the party state, I think would be to be very open talking about these differences and to be very open talking about the political system of China as incompatible with, let's say, and I would use a little bit adapted Chinese vocabulary, as a civilized, in opposition to a civilized modern system, which is what developed in Europe and which is now being undermined by by the Chinese party state. So this was my remark that I would perhaps, I don't know, just tell everybody that I think about this as a strategy to resist and to very openly discuss this difference and this, in a totally unpolite way, rejecting the Chinese offers of building up the community of shared destiny based on the Stalinist party state as it's currently the aim of the party secretary. So this would be my concluding remark, which I think majority of the actors on the other side, on the European side, when they are confronted with the United Front emissaries, never do. Even if sometimes they don't realize whom they talk to. Sometimes they do realize, but they think it's impolite to say openly, sorry, your political system is wrong. Your political system doesn't bring the advantages you are promising, and we know about it. Maybe it's a specific situation for post-communist countries like my country, I don't know. But I think this is actually very simple, but very rarely done by the people when dealing with the relevant people dealing with the Chinese counterparts. Well, I think this is it. To confirm my remark, I go back to the Sige Zixin four self-confidences, which I mentioned on the first day. And this is revealing. Xi Jinping is actually emphasizing in one of his campaigns, we have to be self-confident. And the self-confidence is there is Chinese culture mentioned, but basically the self-confidence is self-confidence in the party state. And if the party secretary unveils a huge campaign, I bought a book in Peking about 3 years ago as a textbook of four self-confidences, you can see that the party is persuading its own members. Be self-confident that the socialism with Chinese characteristics is the best system globally invented so far. Yeah. So this is something we should think about more and talk about to the people who are relevant in this process. So this is it. I just to conclude, I want to thank everybody for participating. It was really, inspiring would be the most important word for me. I also very much hope that the presentations will be published sooner or later. I also spoke to Martin Haller several times that it would be very nice to do some selection, perhaps also of previous conferences and of some other research we published on the website, and prepare a book, because a book, even though it is not so fast coming to the audience, it is something which is more frequently returned to. So it is something which may have a long-term impact. This is, of course, up to you, the participants, to discuss if you have some such intentions. And of course, I have to thank Katka, who was a wonderful moderator. I really admired her skills and her soft power. We should thank all the institutions that they supported us, and I would primarily thank the Oriental Institute of the Academy of Sciences, which is the co-organizer. Unfortunately, none of the researchers, the excellent researchers who are there, could participate, could make a presentation. But I just would like to emphasize, we do have some very interesting research going on about Xinjiang, about Tibet. I'm proud of our colleagues who really do a sort of in-depth research in these directions, including their ability to work with the local languages and use sources which are not always available to majority of other researchers. And maybe we should also thank the Cheteka, I don't know how it is in English, the press agency, Czech press agency.
News agency,
yeah, which was so kind to help us sharing this conference with a broader audience, despite all the technical problems we encountered. I hope a lot of people was able to join and will be able to revisit the recorded presentations. So thank you all again, and hope to see you next year in person in Prague. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Professor Lomová. And I would like to also thank to all our wonderful, amazing speakers for sharing their opinions and ideas. And I hope as well that we will meet next year face to face. One more remark, you can watch our stream online, and probably tomorrow we will have the cut video. It will probably be better than the live streaming today, and also put it on our webpage. So please, and one more thing that I should mention, the article, some of the presentation would be rewritten and published on our webpage as well, so you can read them later on. And I'm not going to repeat, I would like to thank all of that Professor Lomová mentioned, but also I would like to specifically thanks our head of the research, Lulu Čičák, who helped us too, and he was the leading person behind this conference. So Lulu, thank you. Everybody, thank you very much. Have a nice evening or day, and looking forward to see you soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.